He's sweeping women off their feet? Cassius fidgeted in his seat. It may help, learning how to deal with women, since I'll be dealing with a prickly one for the next few weeks. Right. Now I was prickly. Had he been immortal, I would have knifed him in the chest. Great. Alex clapped his hands. So that's settled. Cassius stays here until Stephanie learns how to control herself, considering we don't really know what she is. All eyes turned to me with pity. And since technically she gave her immortality to you, Alex's eyes narrowed. Yet now she has it back and you're human. No. Cassius cleared his throat. For the time being, no. But all will be well soon. Not immortal, I repeated out loud. I'd forgotten about that. Barricaded the damn memory so far into my mind that I wouldn't recall what it was like uniting myself with Cassius. Because it was the only time in my entire existence that I belonged. And it had been ripped from me the minute he chose to walk away. Granted, he returned, but I imagined there was more to the story. Like if he didn't help me, the big bad archangel was going to stab Cassius in the throat. So, really, he had no choice. My heart plummeted to my stomach. I think I'll go lay down for a while. My voice was weak. I didn't look back. Not even when Alex called after me, or even when I felt the ice start to tickle down my fingertips and lightly frost the air next to me.
Chapter 7 Cassius. My eyes weren't used to the dull colors around me. Gray used to be my favorite color. It masqueraded as something trivial and boring, when really it consisted of a million different speckles of blues, greens, blacks, and even some white, constantly changing, shifting in its color, evolving. Now, I glanced around at the gray countertop, the gray, or what some would call silver appliances, and I was bored to tears, and irritated that something as simple as enjoying the visions in front of me was suddenly gone, taken from me. Humans really had no understanding of the depth of color, and now I was realizing that firsthand. Particles of dust used to float in front of my face, pieces of moisture collected into the air, ready for me to use had I needed it. Now, I sucked in air through lungs that, by my calculations, would stop working around the age of 78, possibly 79. It would be something simple that would take this body. Morose thoughts clouded my vision, making it impossible for me to really see anything but my own demise, and the very simple fact that last week I had been different. I had been better. This week, I was facing the greatest challenge of my existence. Getting Stephanie to see me as someone other than her protector, her king, a monster. I wasn't sure what was typical. Did I wait an hour to go fetch her? Two? Maybe three? So I sat, my ass pressed against an extremely uncomfortable chair, and imagined a simpler time when I was able to simply force my will on anyone and be done with it. The coffee Mason had given me was cold. The ceramic cup cheap, breakable. I think he meant it as a joke when he gave it to me. After all, it had some silly vampire-looking character on the front of it, blood dripping from his fangs. I scowled and turned the cup to face the other direction. "She's upstairs," Alex grumbled from the corner. "You know, just in case you haven't turned into a statue." Then again, with a heart that cold, I rolled my eyes and stood. "I'll see to her." Alex moved in front of me, his cat-like eyes narrowing in suspicion, his fingertips pressed against my chest. It hurt like hell. Not that I was going to actually admit to the siren that he was stronger. Because the very thought, the idea that he could end my life, when I'd spent the better part of mine protecting his kind, it didn't rub well. It felt all too humbling. Damn, I hated that word. "She's fragile." He retracted his hand. "Remember, she could break my finger with a flick of her wrist." I shoved past him, ignoring the already bruising skin on my chest. "Think of it this way. If I make her angry, you'll simply have to burn my body to finish me off." "Ah, fire." Alex snapped his fingers. "I always forget about the fire." I didn't. I hated fire. Fire represented my future. If I couldn't get her to fall for me, to love me just as I was, I wouldn't just die. I'd be burned alive. While Sariel most likely watched, with a bowl of damn popcorn, buttered. "Just..." Alex's sigh grated my nerves. "Be careful." "I'll do that." I had no idea how I was going to manage being careful. That word had never really been in my vocabulary. Being careful meant I actually cared. In all my existence, I'd only cared about one person. Her. And now the game was twisted, altered. Some of my chess pieces missing, the board falling sideways off the table. "You're stalling," Alex called from behind me. I grunted and made my way slowly up the stairs. I couldn't smell her. There had once been a time when I'd been able to pick out her scent from across the room in a crowd. It had been all I could do to keep myself from pulling her close, from breathing deep, from kissing her deeper. My footsteps were loud, awkward, as I made my way down the hallway to her room. I knocked. She didn't answer. I didn't expect her to. I nudged the door open. Stephanie was sitting in front of the window, her hands placed demurely in her lap, her head cocked to the side as if she was watching something very carefully. The beauty of Stephanie wasn't in just her form, but the way she made you feel by simply glancing in your direction. Weakness made me crave it. My humanity demanded I stay in her presence forever, convincing me that walking away would only result in such physical and emotional pain that I wouldn't survive it. Her hair was like warm caramel chocolate, her eyes an icy blue. She was tall, most immortal women were, but she wasn't thin, not by any stretch of the imagination. Calling her thin would be an insult. She had curves, the kind that made any man, mortal or not, stop and take notice. I imagined she was the epitome of the perfect woman. I coughed behind my hand. She ducked her head but didn't turn around. "So you've come to train me? Is that it, Cassius?" I moved toward her, slowly, carefully, because even though I knew she wouldn't hurt me physically, my weak body was completely aware she could, and that was enough. In a manner of speaking, I pulled a chair next to hers and glanced out the window. "What are you looking at?"
"Birds."
"Birds?" I repeated.
"Do you need me to speak slower? Ears aren't what they used to be, huh, Cassius?"
I scowled. "My ears are just fine." She smirked. I wanted to kiss that smirk right off her face, about as much as I wanted to snap my fingers and freeze her ass for defying me so blatantly.
"Birds have it easy. They build nests, find worms, eat, sing, reproduce. They get to fly."
I held my sigh in. "Stephanie, if you want to be a bird, I'm sure Sariel can arrange it." She laughed out loud.
"Sariel can turn me into an animal? I'd believe that when I saw it."
I chose not to comment. "This is why you need me." She turned her icy glare in my direction.
"Because I'm bird watching?"
"Because you don't realize." I leaned in and tilted her chin toward me. My fingers nearly fell away from the electrical shock her skin gave me. "You don't even know where you come from, where I come from, what our real purpose is. Why they call us Dark Ones. Why we're feared, revered. Why, according to any human gifted with good sight, we're considered gods. You know nothing of our secrets, of our lies, of our struggle against humanity, of our struggle to save it. You know nothing." Stephanie hung her head. A tear slid down her cheek,
freezing as it met her lip, and the cool breath ignited between the two of us.
"Then teach me, and be done with it."
"I'll teach you." She stiffened. "But I won't ever be done with you." I placed my hands on either side of her chair and jerked it forward until we were nose to nose. "I will never be done with you. Not now. Not tomorrow. Not a year from now. Understood?"
"Don't make promises you can't keep."
"It's not a promise. It's simply truth in its finest form. You and I will never be separate. Hate me all you want, but our lives are intertwined now." She broke eye contact, and her breathing became erratic. "Do you regret saving me?" I whispered.
"I did."
She cleared her throat.
"I regretted it every day you were gone."
"And now?"
"Now?"
The air turned icy.
"I guess we'll see."
Chapter 8. Stephanie. He was too close, but he would notice if I shifted away, and I didn't want to appear weak, not when I'd already done so over and over again. If he wanted to train me, fine. I imagined it was a forced punishment, but my pride wouldn't let me go there. Somehow, imagining it was way better than him actually admitting it. "You must have done something very, very bad," I said under my breath, stealthily moving my chair away and standing. So much for not going there. After all, when was the last time a Dark One was given mortality, made human?
"Never," he said in a clipped tone. "I would know, considering my age."
"Yes. Let's rehash your age. That always goes over well. You're how much older than me?" His blue eyes narrowed into tiny slits.
"We'll have to do something about that attitude of yours."
"Oh, I'd love to see you try," I challenged. He grinned. I didn't like that grin. It was beautiful. It was also terrifying. I backed away farther, even though I knew I had the upper hand. I still couldn't forget. Maybe my mind wouldn't let me. He was a Dark One, or he had been. He could own my ass with a simple snap of his fingers. Granted, he was human now, but for how long? What if I pissed him off and he was changed back tomorrow? Right. I wasn't taking any chances. Regardless of my feelings for him, or the way he kissed me, he was a cold, heartless bastard. Imagining anything else just made my heart sick. Cassius stalked toward me, his steps purposeful. I walked backward until my body collided with the wall. He tilted his head, his black hair falling across his strong, angular jaw.
"A Dark One never cowers."
I arched my eyebrows and opened my mouth, but he clamped his hand over it.
"And Dark Ones always respect their elders."
I rolled my eyes, still unable to talk. Slowly he removed his hand. "You know," I whispered, "you could try to at least be nice to me while we're training." He frowned.
"Am I not being nice?"
"Are you insane?"
"Is that sarcasm?"
Cassius looked genuinely confused, like I just shouted that I wanted to ride a zebra in for dinner. "You aren't smiling at me. You haven't even asked what I want in this whole scenario, and you touch me like I'm diseased," I shouted. "Is that your definition of nice?" His nostrils flared as he pounded a hand next to my head. A mirror crashed to the floor.
"Smiling takes an effort I'm not willing to extend lest it become a habit, especially in your presence. I'm not asking your opinion because, frankly, I don't give a shit what you think. And I don't touch you because the very idea of your skin coming into contact with mine sends this ridiculously human body into flight. And I refuse to run away from a woman."
"Forget about not wanting to kill him." I slammed my hands against his chest. His body went flying across the room, landing on my bed, hammering the posts into the wall and creating giant holes I knew Mason was going to be pissed about fixing and hiding from Ethan. The air in the room fell below zero as ice trickled along my veins.
My skin turned a vivid white as my eyes took in every bit of moisture from the air, freezing it to my advantage so I could create an icy stake to plunge through Cassius's cold, heartless chest. My hands snapped forward, the ice joined together in front of my eyes. I gripped the makeshift weapon and launched myself into the air, arm raised. When I landed on the bed, straddling Cassius, it wasn't terror or fear I found, but elation. His smile was huge, beautiful. I dropped the ice stake and fell backward, my body turning warm again. What the hell was that?
That, his grin widened, is what happens when you piss off a dark one. Good to know you aren't defective.
I could have killed you.
I'm human. Therefore, every second I suck in air, I'm dying. It would have been worth it to see what you're capable of.
But I covered my face with my hands. I'm dangerous. You said so yourself in the car. You said to control my emotions. You said...
I said a lot of things. He interrupted. Listen to what I'm saying now. I'm truly here to help you, not because I was punished.
My heart sped up automatically as my head snapped to attention and I sought his gaze. Really? He nodded, his eyes drinking me in.
I'm here out of an intense desire to help you, and to make sure you don't kill the rest of your family in one of your adolescent mood swings.
I'm not a child.
Says the little girl who created a spike out of ice with the intent of stabbing me in the chest, all because her feelings were hurt.
You were mean.
It was necessary.
How do you figure?
How else am I supposed to help you?
Cassius leaned up on his elbows.
If I don't allow you to see the darkest parts of yourself.
That's what you want? To see my darkness?
No.
His eyes flashed.
I teach you how to fight the darkness, so you can recognize the light.
My breath hitched. Warmth trickled throughout my chest as I stared at his mouth. His eyes gave nothing away, and everything at the same time. He kept his expression indifferent, yet I could hear his heart race. It sounded like mine felt. I pressed a hand to his chest. He covered the hand with his. With a sigh, I leaned down and pressed a kiss to his cheek, then brushed my lips against his mouth. He didn't kiss me back. Rejection washed over me. Obviously, I'd read the situation completely wrong. His heart was racing, but not for me.
Don't.
His hoarse voice rattled my confidence even more.
Don't kiss me. Not unless you mean it.
What?
Kiss me when you're calm, not when you've just come down from what any human would consider the ultimate adrenaline high. Then you'll mean it. But don't kiss me out of curiosity, out of thankfulness, or even out of attraction. It doesn't work that way.
Ashamed, I looked down, unable to keep eye contact because I hated that he was right. I loved the man, but he was right.
And any time you'd like to get off of me, that would be great.
He finished, grinning.
Because as much as I'd like to compliment you on your lithe body, you're about 2 minutes away from crushing my liver.
With a scowl, I jumped off him, but when he tried to follow, I pushed him back onto the bed. He grunted and tumbled over the other side. I smiled to myself and started walking toward the door. Hurry up, human. We don't have all day.
You forget, he said from the floor. You may be a dark one, but you gave up your immortality the day you saved my life.
I'd conveniently forgotten that part since it was magically given back to me when you disappeared.
I haven't. Forgotten.
Cassius reached for my arm and led me out of the room.
Now I think I need to eat before we begin.
How do you think you need to eat? You're either hungry or you're not.
I think this pain is hunger.
Cassius rubbed his stomach with one hand and frowned.
And that bird looked delicious.
Okay. I patted him on the back. Humans these days don't have to shoot their own birds. Let's just ask Mason to cook something. He's probably bored to tears anyway. We walked by the window. The bird chose to land on the tree closest to us. Cassius tensed.
When was the last time you ate? I asked.
Ate?
Food. He licked his lips.
Dark ones don't need food. We eat because food tastes delicious.
As a human, I clarified. He shrugged.
I haven't.
No wonder you want to go all Elmer Fudd on his ass.
Elmer Fudd?
Cassius shook his head in confusion.
Is that a figure of speech for eating birds?
No. I patted his shoulder. It's Bugs Bunny.
Bugs or Bunny? They can't be one and the same.
Maybe you do need to watch some TV with everyone. I managed to lead him away from the window, though he turned around twice. I may be stronger, but it was still awkward trying to push him down the stairway when he kept trying to turn around and make creepy eye contact with the feathered creature.
Someone say TV.
Alex was leaning against the bottom part of the stairway, his naturally bright smile even more amused than normal.
And Bugs Bunny is a rabbit.
Cassius shrugged.
Of course the bunny is a rabbit. I was confused about the Bugs part.
It's his name.
But he's a rabbit. Bunny.
Cassius argued.
Humans name pets. Funny.
Cassius smirked.
They name pets. I keep them as pets.
Still talking a big game for being one of them. Alex grinned.
And sister.
He peered up at me with loving eyes.
I think the best thing for you right now would be to get Cassius caught up on pop culture.
Cassius groaned.
I'm not stupid. I know about the Backstreet Boys.
Alex burst out laughing.
Oh, this may be my favorite moment of my entire existence. Right up there with the time I watched Ethan take his first bite of pizza thinking the sauce was blood.
A giant scowl formed on Ethan's face, and he gripped the edge of the table where he was seated.
Well, if you hadn't lied about it.
Best day ever. Alex winked. Genesis finished setting the table by folding white napkins beneath the forks. It was cute that she did it, even though the only people who ate were her and sometimes Mason. At least now Cassius could join the ranks.
Sorry, Cassius.
Mason tossed a plate at Genesis. She caught it midair and placed it at the head of the table.
Backstreet Boys aren't really the in thing anymore.
Fine. Cassius rolled his eyes.
I'll just go to the store and grab a few CDs, and why is everyone looking at me like I've lost my mind?
Ethan shook his head.
You've been that busy, unable to even turn on a TV, do an internet search. You have more money than the very country you live in, and you can't afford cable.
Cassius walked away from me and sat at the head of the table. Funny that he'd take his usual seat. I guessed he was still our king, even if he was a bit under the weather.
When would I have time? With the vampires fighting, the werewolves hiding, the demons whining. I'd like to know who's doing your job while you're...
Mason tilted his head and his lips pulled into a sneer.
Indisposed.
Cassius flashed his teeth. I'm not sure what he was trying to accomplish, considering the minute he poked the bear, or, in this case, werewolf, Mason flashed his fangs. Then Ethan felt the need to flash his, followed by my brother nearly glowing. Was it wrong that their reactions at least made things feel normal? I sat down and crossed my arms. Let's just all agree that Cassius needs this much-needed break to train me and learn the wonder that is the Internet. And iTunes.
Yes. He needs this much-needed break because he needs to fulfill his basic human needs.
Alex said in a smug tone.
I know what iTunes is.
Cassius glowered in my direction, immediately changing the subject. I tilted my head. Oh, yeah?
Songs.
You'll have to do better than that.
Songs that people...
He gulped.
Sing.
Alex burst out laughing. Cassius rolled his eyes and glanced out the window. The bird. The same damn bird appeared.
Food!
He jumped out of his seat. I quickly got to my feet and pushed him back down. Sit.
But...
Alex raised his hand.
Why is Cassius birdwatching?
He's watching because he wants to eat it, I explained. Mason placed a salad in front of Cassius. You'd think he just asked Cassius to tend to the garden and eat raw tomatoes.
What's this?
Salad. I scooted the dressing toward him.
It's green. Hey, at least you've got your eyesight, Ethan remarked. But the bird.
Cassius pointed behind him. Why aren't we eating meat? Mason looked heavenward.
I must have done something seriously awful to be cursed with a dark one who suddenly wants food. He'll eat everything.
He's starving, I pointed at Cassius. Come on, fix him something good, Mason. Salads are for girls.
Genesis laughed and reached across the table to grab Cassius's plate, but he was busy poking the tomato with a fork, or trying to.
It's like watching a baby learn how to walk. Come on, Cassius, you can do it.
Alex clapped behind him. And earned a fork in the thigh.
Shit!
Alex collapsed to the ground.
What the hell? I thought you weren't a dark one anymore. So I've lost my aim.
Cassius snorted.
Hardly. And next time you make fun of me, I'm grabbing a knife. Ethan has a gun case. The code is 1492,
Mason said in a cheerful voice. Alex glared.
Thanks, Mason. Real helpful. Please. It wouldn't kill you. It damn well wouldn't tickle either, you bastard,
Alex shouted.
Guys, I held up my hands. Do I need to order takeout, or do we have enough meat to feed?
I pointed to Cassius. This.
Not even a person anymore,
Alex cackled behind him.
How's it feel? About as good as a bullet between the eyes, Alex. Care to experience it?
Alex jerked the fork out of his thigh and tossed it in the sink.
Wash the blood off, why don't you, Mason? I can't concentrate with all the yelling.
Mason reached for his cell.
I say we go out to eat.
Yes.
Genesis stood. We haven't done a date night in weeks. Ethan reached for her hand and kissed it.
Date night.
Cassius frowned.
A night with dates.
I leaned forward and rested my forehead on the table.
It's romantic.
Date night,
he repeated again. I stood.
Whatever. Let's go somewhere close, because Cassius is about 5 minutes away from molesting that bird.
I would never.
Cassius stood, outrage pouring over his face.
Sarcasm.
Alex slapped him on the back.
You should try it, Dark One.
Cassius jerked away from Alex.
I know what it is.
Clearly. Alex nodded in mock understanding.
The lodge.
Mason grabbed his keys.
They always make room for us. Let's go, kids, before Dad eats the family pet. The bird is your pet?
Cassius looked horrified. Alex sighed and whispered again, sarcasm. Cassius shoved past him, then stopped in his tracks and turned.
Stephanie, will we be riding together?
His eyes were hopeful. What game was he playing? He held out his hand. I took it, still frowning.
Sure.
We'll drive separate, since we can't all fit in Ethan's car.
They're all my cars.
Ethan said under his breath, then sped past us with Genesis in tow. I nodded toward the garage. Cassius followed, our hands still linked.
Well, which one of Ethan's toys do you want to take?
The lights flickered on as Ethan and the rest of the crew piled into his white Mercedes.
That.
Cassius pointed at the red Hummer. I sighed.
Of course. Big Bad Dark One wants a big bad car.
It's tall. I'm tall.
He shrugged, his smile flirtatious. My heart skipped in my chest.
Fine, but you do realize we're in Seattle, right? People are going to flip you off for just driving something that gets only 8 miles per gallon.
Does it matter?
He was giddy.
When we can run them over anyway.
Good point.
I'd like to think so.
I'll grab the keys. I still hadn't moved. His eyes were penetrating as he held my gaze.
All right.
Keys, I repeated.
To drive the monstrosity.
Slowly, I shook my head as I left his side and grabbed the keys, then met him back at the car. He was already inside, strapped in and looking about as pumped as a 10-year-old at a carnival.
Fast,
he commanded, and then cleared his throat.
I mean, please.
I smiled and started the car. Only because you said please. His eyes met mine.
I'll have to remember that for future reference. Say please and she says yes.
My body hummed with anticipation. Or maybe it was irritation. That as a human, he was completely wreaking havoc on my emotions. Even more so than when he was immortal.
Chapter 9 Cassius, Pompeii, 79 A.D. Secrets are the real war. I whispered into the darkness, as Sariel made his way toward me through the mist. Purple and blue feathers expanded separately from his body, testing the purity of the air. He was searching for lies, yet again testing me, testing us. They are. Ethan agreed, standing to my right, while Alex held the sword against the king's throat. Why do you disturb me? Sariel asked calmly. With a tilt of his fingers, Alex's sword was pulled back, and the human king was thrust to his knees in a bowing position. I have more important things to focus on than the measly war between humans and immortals. We've been at peace for the last 100 years, I said through clenched teeth, and we disturb you because there has been a situation. Sariel's eyes went white as ice as his wings spread out across the large room. The span of them reached 50 feet. The blue and purple feathers fluttered and then stuck straight out. The air shifted, and the feathers turned black as Sariel sucked in a gasp. You dare defy me? King Ebal began to weep. I was told immortality was obtainable, and they were right. Demons use your greatest desires against you, weaving small truths into great lies. They will justify anything. King Ebal moaned out a curse.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
How much did he have? Sariel asked aloud. I sighed. The demon showed him how to put each of us in an immortal sleep. There's no way to tell how much he took, unless we spill his blood. Ethan has already tried tasting. Sariel's wings suddenly wrapped around his body, and then disappeared. Damn, that meant he was staying a while. He towered over the king. You may look at me now, human. King Ebal lifted his head, his eyes wide with fear. No human could be in an archangel's presence and not fear the end of his own life. I knew firsthand that Sariel was the cruelest of the angels, sometimes choosing to show humans a reflection of their own demise the minute they locked eyes with him. You have consumed immortal blood. It is their essence. You know this.
My girl, the king sobbed. She is sick, and they refuse to heal her.
Are they God? Sariel asked with exaggerated wonder. Do you truly think they have the power to snap their fingers and make someone well?
Angel blood. The king ignored the question. Mixed with the other immortals' blood heals all. She was well this morning.
Word spread. I interrupted, dread filling my stomach. And his wife started handing out small vials of the concoction to friends and family. How many people? Sariel's voice shook the room. By now, I sighed. 100, maybe. Shall I destroy one city for your sin? Sariel addressed the king again.
You don't want us to be healthy. You want us to rely on you for everything. Have I not served you well?
The king challenged.
And yet you refuse to heal my little girl. But the demon said he could.
Of course the demon said he could. Sariel yelled back at him. Because the only way to save a life that's already been claimed for death is to die, you fool.
But, the king sputtered, she's alive.
Is she? Sariel shook his head slowly. Do you realize you could have simply called for a miracle? Do you realize that you could have called upon the one who holds the key to life? Instead, you have damned her to hell.
No.
The king shook his hands in front of his face. Tears streamed down his cheeks.
She is alive. Just this morning I...
Bring the girl. Sariel stormed in an icy whisper. Show her in. The door opened. Eva held the tiny 6-year-old in her strong embrace. Already the girl's eyes were turning black, her body trembling as darkness took hold. She was meant to die. Sariel pointed at the girl. In 2 days, she would have been taken to paradise. On this day, she will lose her soul, along with every person who consumed the blood. The king sobbed, falling to his hands and knees.
Take me. Don't take my little girl. Take me.
I take no one. These lives are no longer mine to take. That choice was pulled out of my hands the minute you decided to play at Creator. Sariel glanced at the window. If 100 have the blood, within 24 hours, the city will fall to sickness. They will need blood. They will have no choice but to feed from one another. Humanity had no place in this decision. I looked at the immortals I'd sworn to protect, and then glanced out amongst the thousands of humans that would die for one man's stupidity. Sariel tilted his head in my direction. This is your realm. What will you do? The human screamed at the unfairness of the situation. It begged. It pleaded. It bled. It had no place in this decision. I will destroy them all. I ignored every shred of human emotion. One day, I feared, I wouldn't feel them at all. They'd simply disappear. I will destroy the city and every demon in it. Chapter 10. Cassius. Slow down, Ethan hissed out of the corner of his mouth as I tore off another hunk of warm bread and shoved it into my mouth. You look like a damn animal.
Mason, Alex nodded thoughtfully. I imagine he looks like Mason does when he feeds.
Mason let out a low growl and clutched his beer tightly with his hand, though that same hand was shaking, his nails elongating. Alex better watch it lest he get his throat slit before dessert. Ah, dessert. I patted my stomach. Why hadn't the hunger subsided? I reached for the bread basket. Empty. Damn. Who ate all the bread?
You! Genesis smothered a laugh. What? You blacked out during the last of the loaf?
My cheeks heated. Sorry.
Gasp, Alex said in a monotone voice. I wasn't aware that word was in your vocabulary.
I ignored his jab. Alex, make yourself useful. Seduce the waitress and get more bread.
You know, that technically breaks council rules. Alex grinned. Seducing a human woman for a Dark One's benefit.
Ethan groaned and pinched his nose. For the love of God, Alex, just do it. Genesis is starving. I can hear her hunger, which in turn makes me hungry, and nobody wants to see me bite. Mason shrugged. I don't know. It would be kinda nice.
Dinner and a show. Stephanie stifled a laugh.
Maybe Alex doesn't think he can do it anymore. Lost your touch, brother.
His eyes narrowed, just as the waitress came by again. I think his hesitation had more to do with the fact that she was in her late 70s and looked like someone's nice old grandma. The grandma who knits sweaters for Christmas and crafts homemade cards for every special occasion.
Are you ready to order?
She tilted her head. The name tag flashed Fran. Threads of silver hair wove around dark hair, all pulled tightly into a bun.
I see you've finished your bread.
One of us has,
Genesis grumbled in my direction. I gave her an apologetic smile, and received a kick from Ethan that hurt like hell. Did the man forget I was breakable? He's lucky he didn't break my leg in half.
Fran,
Alex said in a smooth voice. His blue eyes brightened. His skin took on a flawless appearance. His words were spoken slowly in a lazy drawl that had Fran leaning forward, eyes heavy.
I know we're only now ordering, but is there any way we can get our food, say, in a few minutes? We're positively,
he licked his lips,
starved.
Too far, Mason coughed under his breath.
Fran blinked.
Yes, well, yes, that would be nice.
Two orders of the filet mignon,
Alex grinned. Six orders of the New York strip, six Caesar salads, and I think we'll also take some more bread. Fran wrote everything down and then glanced up.
I'll be sure to get this to you as soon as possible.
She didn't move. Alex yawned. Stephanie smacked him across the chest. His smile was anything but guilty.
Oh, thanks, Fran. You're dismissed.
But?
Her eyebrows pinched together, like she was trying to solve a puzzle. This was the problem with sirens. They flirted. They gave off such an intense emotional charge that if they didn't follow through, usually, the spell was broken within minutes. He had to touch her to solidify it. Kissing her would be better. I'd known Alex for a long time. I imagined he was too lazy to do either. With a sigh, he slowly rose from his seat and reached for her hand, bringing it to his lips with a quick kiss. Fran flashed a toothy smile and walked off. I gave one solitary clap.
Could you have gone any slower?
Could you be any more jealous?
He countered. Of your love affair with the elderly? I tilted my head. Jealousy wasn't really the word I was thinking.
You're welcome.
He leaned back in his chair, placing his hands behind his head.
At least now you won't have to resort to eating the tablecloth.
You can eat the tablecloth?
Sarcasm, Alex said in an exasperated tone. Learn it.
I smirked. I was kidding. You'd think I'd just announced I was going to go on a killing spree. All eyes fell to me. Movement ceased. What? I reached for my water and took a tentative sip.
Dark ones don't joke,
Mason said seriously.
Did this whole humanity thing also replace your personality?
I glowered. Really? It's like you're begging me to kill you once this is finished. And what is this? Ethan's eye narrowed. You haven't really said, and I can't imagine you taking this type of test. Sitting down. Standing. I licked my lips. I was standing, actually.
Sariel said nothing else?
Stephanie asked, her voice dripping with doubt.
Nothing about his reasoning.
My mind flashed back to a few days earlier, when I offered up everything for a chance at everything. A chance to fix an error. A lapse in judgment. The council members, the individuals sitting at that very table, knew me the best. They'd seen me raise cities, save lives, and do my fair share of destroying. Yet even they didn't believe me capable of having a shred of humanity. which in turn made me question everything I'd come to know about myself. Was I their leader because they respected me? No, I was their leader because they feared me, because they had no choice. They weren't my friends, hardly even colleagues. It had never been so painfully apparent as it was in that moment. I truly had nothing in this world. And maybe that was Sariel's plan all along, his last cruel trick. Make the Dark One, who has no feelings, feel. Because I felt a hell of a lot while I sat there. Shame. Disappointment. Rage. Embarrassment. I felt it all. And I had nobody to blame but myself.
Chapter 11. Stephanie.
I want to show you something.
Cassius's deep voice caused my body to shiver in anticipation, delight, lust. Take your pick. I lifted a shoulder. Oh?
I doubt Ethan would mind if we borrowed his car for the evening.
Evening? My entire mouth went dry. Hadn't we just spent the evening together? At least dinner? I watched helplessly as the rest of the crew piled into Ethan's car and drove off, leaving me alone with Cassius. So very much alone. The whole evening? Cassius grinned.
You look scared.
Tired, I blurted. This is the look of exhaustion.
Pity.
He pulled the keys from my hand and opened the passenger door, ushering me in.
I guess I'll have to do my best to keep you from overexerting yourself, then.
I gulped. Guess so. Cassius didn't respond, but he did seem amused at my expense as he started the car and weaved through traffic, nearly clipping two cars in the process. Thought you didn't know how to drive, I said through clenched teeth.
Fast learner.
He flashed another smile and kept driving at breakneck speed until we took the next exit. I frowned as he went toward Lake Stevens. The sun was setting, the sky was growing dark. Demons would soon be out and about, seducing humans, biting them, drinking their blood just because they could. Vampires would be sleeping, because as much as people liked to believe they only came out at night, they could do whatever the hell they wanted. Within reason. What will you do? I cleared my throat in an attempt to rid my mind of what dangers prowled at night. If you haven't finished this little test before the next council meeting... Cassius stared blankly at the road ahead, giving nothing away. But the dim light from the dash revealed that he was gripping the steering wheel so tight his knuckles were turning white.
That won't happen.
But it could. I frowned. And if the vampires, demons, heck, if anyone sees you like this...
They won't,
he yelled. I held up my hands. Okay, sensitive subject. But I'm glad that you're confident in this whole testing thing. He scowled.
Confidence has nothing to do with it.
Oh? As the car rolled to a stop at the light, he turned toward me, his face void of emotion.
If I fail, I die. Case closed.
What? Panic rose in my chest. If you fail as a human, you die? If you fail with me? Color tinged his cheeks as he slammed down on the accelerator.
Right. Something like that.
How many days did he give you?
30.
As of today?
As of 2 days ago.
You have 28 days? I shouted, frosting the windows with ice. He muttered a curse and quickly turned on the defrost.
Careful. You're going to make me think you actually like me.
I crossed my arms and gazed out my window. You know I like you. He was quiet for a minute, then cleared his throat.
Do you like me enough to trust me? Do you like me enough not to kill me?
What is this, first grade? I laughed. His teasing eased my fear. Cassius, I like you. I'm circling yes on the note you just passed me. What's your deal?
I'm not familiar with that expression.
I pinched the bridge of my nose. You aren't familiar with anything.
That's not true.
He steered the car down a winding road near the lake.
Yes, it is. What have you been doing? You know, other than watching over me, making sure I don't know my full potential, keeping your dirty secrets, and making sure immortals don't go to war.
You want to know what I've been doing?
He yelled as he stomped on the brake and the car jerked to a stop.
Yes!
I matched his voice.
Where do you go when shit gets real, Cassius? When life gets too hard? When you're forced to face your demons?
We're here.
We aren't done discussing this.
Cassius sighed and pulled the keys from the ignition.
I meant we're here. Here is the place I go to. My home.
I jerked back and fumbled with the handle to the car door and jumped out of the car. We were in front of a house. A giant, modern white house with large bay windows nestled between at least a dozen or so trees just feet from the lake. It was beautiful. Not what I'd imagine a dark one living in. This doesn't look like you at all.
Oh?
Cassius chuckled.
And what did you expect?
A cave.
I nodded as the white pristine house caused unwelcome sensations to bubble up within me. This part of Cassius just made me more curious. Possibly hell?
Great,
he said in a low voice.
You think I spend my time in the fiery pits of hell until I'm ordered to go eat small children, is that it?
I shrugged. Technically, the shoe fit. Not that I'd say it out loud. He cursed. As if things had been going well up until this point? The sound of crunching gravel as he walked away was really the only indicator that Cassius wanted me to follow. I moved slowly behind him as we neared the house. He pulled a key out from under the mat and slid it in the door. Clever. Nobody would ever look there. I nodded my head. Cassius stopped and turned, his blue eyes menacing.
Do you truly think I care if someone steals from me, or tries to break in? Believe me, it would be more of a nightmare for them than for me. I'd simply make sure they cease to exist.
He snapped his fingers into the air. Done it before, have you? I arched my eyebrows up.
Once.
Cassius shrugged and moved in through the doorway.
He was at least 80. I thought it a kindness to further things along. His memory wasn't well, had no family. I touched him and...
He died?
Quickly,
Cassius said smoothly. That's horrible.
As opposed to him dying alone in his home. He died with me, an honor I don't bestow on just anyone.
I frowned. Is that what was going to happen to me? I'd touch nice old men and decide to steal their lives? As if on cue, a darkness started spreading through my stomach, like a warmth I couldn't control, and then, as soon as it appeared, it dissipated like it was never there in the first place. Unsettling. I hated feeling out of control.
You forget.
He turned to face me, his face dazzling beneath the moonlight and stars.
We are better than them. We always will be. That's not me being cruel or arrogant. It's a simple fact. The blood that runs through your veins.
His fingertips danced across the pulse point on my wrist.
It's holy.
I licked my lips in irritation. The last thing I felt was special, and definitely not holy. Doesn't feel that way.
You're part angel,
he said slowly.
It will never feel the way it's supposed to simply because you are missing half of the whole. Being a Dark One means being in a constant state of loneliness without any way to alleviate the pain.
I flinched. Was that what this feeling was? This hollowness in my chest that made me stare like a lunatic at every single human relationship, like I was starved for attention? For physical touch?
Ah.
Cassius nodded knowingly.
You've been wondering if something's wrong with you, am I right?
I swallowed and broke eye contact, unable to bear his scrutiny. He saw too much. Even as a human, it was like he saw beneath the surface of everything.
So you really were at a coffee shop?
He reached out and touched my face. His fingertips were warm.
Watching humans hold hands. Laugh. Love.
His head tilted to the side, not in a mocking way, almost like he was puzzled.
Or maybe I was the puzzle. Tell me, did it burn? What? I croaked. How did he know? After the hollowness slices open your chest. He moved closer to me, dropping his hand so that his body was almost pressed against mine. I used to call it the burn of wanting what I knew I could never have. Humans were created for partnership, companionship. Angels, as you know, are the exact opposite. Thus the burn, the feeling of being ripped in half. Your angel blood tells you it's ridiculous, stupid, even, to want what you can't have. And why, it says, why want something so weak when you are who you are, what you are? His voice broke. But the human side of you, it longs. It desires. His forehead touched mine. Oh, it burns, all right. It burns you from the inside out. And the darkness beckons during the burn. It calls.
Does it ever go away? I whispered, completely unnerved by our conversation. I had a sudden urge to itch my chest, to make the burn go away, because even then my body was remembering it, like a thirst I couldn't quench. He let out a long sigh, then backed away from me, away from whatever private moment we were sharing.
It can.
Did it for you?
He froze, his hand midair as he was reaching for a light switch. Once.
When? The air stilled around us. When did it stop?
Cassius hung his head. The minute our lips touched, those brief seconds you saved me, touched me, joined with me. For those measly seconds, seconds of living a lifetime of a million lonely seconds, I was complete.
I covered my face with my hands.
Let's go,
he said gruffly.
There's more to show you.
He left the room. But I was glued to the spot, unable to do anything except focus on breathing in and out. I wanted to ask so many more questions. Was he angry at me because the only moment of peace he'd had was in my arms? Was that it? My heart clenched as rejection washed over me. Of course. That's why he'd run off, hidden. Maybe that was why he was being punished, because he did hide, he did run. And it was my fault. I'd made him want. And now, he was forced to spend the next 28 days with me. I guess the only positive out of the situation was that he was human. I had no effect on him. Because if I did, he'd have already fallen. Humans were weak, slaves to their emotions. Dark One or not in an entirely human state, Cassius wouldn't have stood a chance against me. But he continued to do so, which made the rejection sting all that much more. As a Dark One, I couldn't even entice him.
Stephanie, Cassius barked from somewhere deeper in the house. We don't have all night.
Scowling, I stomped after him. I could last the next 3.5 weeks with him. I just needed to keep my heart on lockdown, just like he was doing. If a measly human could do it, there was no reason I couldn't.
Chapter 12. Cassius, Pompeii, 79 AD.
You can't do this!
Eva screamed at me as I moved farther up the mountain.
Cassius, stop!
The ice in my veins rose to the surface as a flash of lightning lit up the sky. And what would you have me do? Save them all, only to have them turn on us, destroy us. They are an abomination, Eva. They must die. White filled my vision as the screams of people in the city started to multiply. Earthquake. I spoke the word in ancient Aramaic, the tongue of angels. The ground shook beneath my feet. I kept walking. Eva followed. Finally, I turned on my heel. Do not make me destroy you, vampire! Her eyes closed, and then she held out her hands, palms facing toward me.
Cassius, most of them are innocent. Will you destroy them? The children?
The mothers, the grandmothers?
If I let one go free, one who is infected.
Then choose, Cassius,
Eva said in a challenging voice.
Choose who goes free. Save a few. All I ask is that you save some.